In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Tonight we're going to read for the Matins Gospel, a gospel that's out of sequence. Last week we read from the first Matins Gospel, so you'd think we'd read the second tonight, but actually we're reading the third because the second Matins Gospel from Mark, and the third is from Mark as well, is read tomorrow for the myrrh bearers. So we're reading from the third Matins Gospel, which is from Mark. And it has some very important things to say. Now, there's some details and some chronology and everything that's good to know, and that's interesting, and that helps you to understand the resurrection. But the most important things are the spiritual things which are in this gospel and all the resurrectional gospels. This gospel begins, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." It doesn't say something that is very important. The fact that something is missing is very important. If you read this gospel and the other gospels too, nobody saw the resurrection. The resurrection happened in silence. No one saw it. No one heard it. No one witnessed it. We became aware of the resurrection, or the women and Joseph and Nicodemus and the apostles, when it was announced after the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Our Lord resurrected himself through the stone, through the closed tomb, in obscurity without anyone knowing. This is much like his nativity, in which he was born in obscurity, in virtual silence. Almost nobody knew about it except for the shepherds and the wise men in Babylon who were hundreds of miles away that saw the star. And so, whereas the Lord did not open the gate of the Theotokos, she remained ever virgin. The scriptures are clear about that if you know how to read them. Ezekiel is very clear about that. So he also did not open the gate of the tomb. The stone remained in place and he resurrected. And the awareness of his resurrection was later in the morning. Now he was in the tomb 3 days, but that's not 3 full days. If you like to do the math, and I sometimes like to do it, and I've only recently cured myself of doing the math at St. Mary of Egypt's life, because you can, there's a lot of numbers in her life, and you can add them together and figure out how old she was and things like that. Well, you can do the math regarding how long the Lord was in the tomb. He certainly was crucified the 6th hour, it's noon. He died on the cross at the 9th hour, which would be about 3 p.m. It was March, so that the sunset would be around, let's say, 6 p.m., 6:30 p.m. So they had maybe 3 hours to ask for the body from Pilate, take the body down, do whatever they could as quickly as possible and get him into the tomb, because they had to be home before sunset. So he was a very small portion of Friday, and then sunset occurred, and then there would be his Sabbath, and that's Saturday. So he was in the tomb all of the Sabbath. He rested on the Sabbath. And then he resurrected sometime after the Sabbath, which would be the evening for Sunday, all the way into Sunday morning. When he resurrected, we don't know. When he made himself apparent to us that he was resurrected, we know. At the rising of the sun, at deep dawn. So maybe 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to the myrrh bearers, to the Theotokos, to Peter, and to the 11 later on. So he rose from the dead without anybody seeing. That's very important, because the greatest, most powerful, most magnificent, most incredible thing that happened in the entire universe ever happened without anybody noticing. The power of God is not always noticed. In fact, most of the time, God's power is not noticed. How often do we judge a person and not see the power of God living in them? This is very instructive for us. We must understand. The power of God works in us too, but often very quietly. Sometimes without us even knowing, most of the time I would say. And we must understand that God's power, His grace, is always present in us and always helping us, but we're not always aware of it. Maybe it's because of our sins. Maybe it's just because we just don't have enough understanding yet. It's too fantastic for us to understand. And then the other lesson that you should learn from this gospel and from the rest of them, the 11 gospels, is that the resurrection is hard to believe. Oh, it's easy to say we believe in the historical fact of the resurrection. Absolutely. But to live completely in the resurrection, without any doubting, that is very difficult. Now, by doubting, I don't say that it's where you, in your mind, you think, well, maybe he really wasn't resurrected. No. By doubting, I say that if we know that God is resurrected and that all life is through him and everything else doesn't matter, then that's the way we should live. But that's not the way we live. So we must not completely believe in the resurrection. The resurrection's hard to believe in. And that's one of the major reasons why the church reads these 11 gospels in serial fashion, one after the other, then repeating the cycle throughout the year. And during the Paschal time, in this shorter time of time, 50 days before Pentecost, they read all of the gospels, all of the 11. Because we need to think about the resurrection and see the reactions of people to the resurrection and see that it was very difficult for them to understand that the resurrection happened. Now, Mark, in the third gospel reading, he mentions that they actually went and told the 11, and they didn't believe. Whereas in the reading just beforehand from Mark, he says that they left quickly from the sepulcher, and they trembled and were amazed, and neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And then right after that, he goes into this talking about sort of a summary. And so from this we can discern that St. Mary Magdalene was at the tomb at least twice. She came at the rising of the sun, saw the stone rolled away, saw the angel, had the dialogue with the angel, didn't really understand it completely, perhaps understood some of it, but was so filled with awe, so filled with fear, she couldn't fulfill the command. And she didn't tell anybody, but she must have come back to the tomb. And then this is where the Lord appeared to her. And St. John, in his gospel, speaks much more clearly about the appearance of St. Mary Magdalene. The last part of St. Mark's gospel, the last half of chapter 16, is really a summary, kind of a quick summary. And so he appeared first, he says, St. Mark, to Mary Magdalene, but we also really know that the Theotokos saw our Lord risen first. It says that St. Mary Magdalene had seven devils. That word seven is not an exact number. It just means lots of devils. The word seven is sometimes used to mean a big number. And she went and told everybody that the apostles, that is, that she had seen him. But they didn't believe her. And it must be that Luke and Cleopas were also there, because then they were journeying to Emmaus, and St. Mark only mentions it rather parenthetically, and after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. St. Luke's gospel obviously speaks about this much more at length. They heard their women say this, and they didn't believe it. They were confused by it. And then we have the whole dialogue in St. Luke's gospel, which is truly amazing. And St. Mark says that after they found out that our Lord was risen, they went and told it unto the residue or remnant. Neither believed they them. Well, this cannot be the 11, because the events that occurred would be that our Lord appeared to the Theotokos, appeared to St. Mary Magdalene, and then St. Mary Magdalene told the apostles. The apostles didn't believe. Luke and Cleopas were among them. They went to Emmaus, a full Sabbath day's journey, and during that time the Lord was talking to them. And then when they were aware that it was the Lord, they ran back as fast as they could to Jerusalem. And perhaps during that intervening time, although the Lord's not bound by time or space, he could have done it any time, he also appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 11 before they arrived, because St. Luke is very clear that when they arrived, those in the upper room said that the Lord has risen indeed to the arriving Luke and Cleopas. And of course then Luke and Cleopas added that information about how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread, which of course is the Eucharist. So there's lots of details here, if you piece together the four Gospels, that show a chronology. And you have to read it over and over again and hear it over and over again, and eventually it becomes clear. And that's good, because having a deeper understanding of the chronology does help us. But the most important thing is recognize the spiritual things that are in these Gospels. That's why we say them over and over and over again, more than any other Gospels. So the first thing to really remember from this Gospel, from St. Mark's Gospel, the third one today, is that what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that anyone witnessed the resurrection, because nobody did. And what that means for us is that the power of God is not always known or understood, neither by believers nor by, of course, unbelievers. So we must order our lives knowing that the power of God is present, that God's mercy is present, although we don't always feel it or hear it or see it. And then the other thing that we must understand is the resurrection's hard to believe. It's hard to live according to. So let's beg the Lord through our reading of these Gospels, through our listening to them, that we would believe the resurrection and live as men and women of the resurrection. Amen. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.